The first station. Dear members of national parliaments, dear colleagues, welcome to the Inter-Parliamentary Committee meeting of the European Parliament Special Committee on Foreign Interference. The Special Committee on Foreign Interference in all democratic processes in the European Union, including disinformation, that we have shortened as INGE or ANGE or INGE, depending on who is speaking, was set up in 2020 with a clear mandate to draw up fact-based recommendations designed to equip the EU with the necessary tools to tackle foreign interference. INGE findings and recommendations will be voted as final report in plenary. We have invited more than 100 experts to learn about the different aspects of foreign interference, such as foreign information manipulation campaigns, foreign campaign financing, and political funding. Interference through social... Sorry. Interference... through social media platforms, cyber attacks, security breaches inside EU institutions, and EU dependence on foreign technology. We have learned that the current tools are not sufficient to tackle the rapidly evolving challenges our democracies are facing. We have seen how easy it is to manipulate information and spread disinformation, and how malicious actors can use online platforms as easy tools to influence public opinion. In addition, the EU is lacking strong regulatory responses to malign foreign interferences. The costs, for instance, for interfering are way too low, and this makes it lucrative for foreign actors to interfere in our affairs. In our search to equip the EU with better tools to counter foreign interference, we must look at the possibilities of raising this cost for malign actors who interfere in our affairs. I believe that it is of great importance that we meet and discuss today about issues our democracies are commonly facing. We have to act on this, and we have to act together. As we can see today at the border of Poland, hostile regimes like Lukashenko's tyranny have launched a hybrid warfare against our democracies. The threats will only grow in the years to come. So we have to be ready to confront them, and I insist on that, together, both at the EU level and at the Member States level and with our international partners. Therefore, I welcome once again all members of national parliaments that have joined us for this session. The first part of the session will be dedicated to the presentation of the ANGE draft report by our great rapporteur, Madame Sandra Cagnetti. And during the second session, we will have a larger exchange of views on foreign interference, and I'm looking forward to our discussions. Now, before I give the floor to the rapporteur, I would like to warmly welcome Mr. Stefano Sannino, who is Secretary General of the EEAS, and will be giving an introductory remark to this meeting. Thank you so much for joining us, and the floor is yours now.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, dear rapporteur, dear members of the committees and members of national parliaments. I would like to thank you very much for the opportunity to speak before your committee today. First of all, and I really it's not rhetoric, I would like to praise the work that you are doing in raising awareness about hybrid threats and foreign interference and contributing to the development of adequate political responses. Chairman, you were rightly pointing out in your introductory remarks that we are facing constantly new challenges, hybrid threats, and this is something that we need to learn how to respond, and we need to make it sure that the openness of our society is not becoming an excuse for others to intervene in our societies and in our democracies without having any kind of price to pay and without any impunity. I know that this committee for the last 18 months has examined in a comprehensive way the many different facets related to the issue of foreign interference, and that you have engaged widely with a number of different actors and partners. I would like to start maybe underlining one point, which I think it's really important. Our joint efforts to tackle foreign information manipulation and interference will be successful only if we work together. And you have rightly pointed out at this point also in your introductory remark. So we need to be able to complement each other and in full respect of fundamental rights and freedoms, be able also to develop replies and responses to these interferences. The European Parliament has always acknowledged and supported the work of the External Action Service in this area, and I would like to thank you for the close cooperation with my staff. I have here very close to me the person in charge, Lutz Kaller, who is in charge of the whole area of information manipulation interference. So it's also speaking in their names, I would like to express my gratitude to you. And I'm also grateful because thanks to your support also in the budgetary manners, we can continue building and strengthening the work that the Stratcom team has undertaken. Foreign information manipulation and interference are a core challenge to our democracies and to our societies. And I think that I'm not exaggerating saying that they are a direct and key threat to the EU interests. We just officially started our discussion on the strategic compass, this new document that would, let's say, identify our security strategy for the years to come. And among these, the challenges that we have identified, the manipulation of information is one of the most relevant ones. We have also seen that during the COVID-19 crisis, our citizens have been, I would say, challenged substantially by this manipulation of information at the risk of threatening the lives of many of our citizens. But I think that the problem of the manipulation of information goes well beyond the current health crisis, and it can target all possible areas, from climate change to migration, from the international rules-based order to the elections, you name it. And I mean, maybe areas that we still don't know and that could come at a certain point. I think that since 2015, we have come a long way already, and the issue has become very relevant on our agenda. And the European Union has been on the forefront of addressing this issue. We have put in place very tangible measures and structures, starting with the Stratcom task forces to tackle disinformation and information manipulation, support independent media, strengthen our own voice, especially in the neighborhood and in the Western Balkans. We have invested heavily in a better methodology, trying to improve our capabilities to communicate strategically and proactively, especially in priority regions, but also helping partners like Ukraine, Georgia, and many others. We have created the Rapid Alert System as a unique system to exchange insights, discuss our policy framework to tackle the threat, and ultimately to enable joint activities together with other EU institutions and the member states. And I'm glad that today we are joined also by members of the parliaments of Canada, the United States, and Australia, because cooperation with our like-minded international partners is a very important part of our work. The EIS is part of the G7 Rapid Response Mechanism and other fora which are aimed at tackling foreign information manipulation interference, including NATO. And it's important, the cooperation that we are developing also with NATO. These are among the issues that we discuss normally with our US partners, and that's including in the recently established Trade and Technology Council with the United States. Mrs. Carniette, you have outlined in your draft report that more needs to be done to address foreign information manipulation and interference, and we want to work exactly in this direction, in close cooperation with you, with the Commission, with the Member States. We are already developed a toolbox which is allowing us to prevent and respond to these threats, but we need to, I think that we need to include in this toolbox also policies and elements in order to impose costs on the perpetrators. And that's the, I think it's something that we really need to work on together. We need to address information manipulation and interference as a long-term, well-resourced and well-coordinated effort. And for this, we are working, as I was saying, with all our counterparts of the other institutions, with international partners, with the civil society, to better understand the nature of the threat and develop an appropriate methodology. We need to prepare ourselves for the emergence of new threats and new tactics, new techniques, new procedures, and we also need to address new actors. If I speak about China, you won't be surprised. And we need to be able to address information manipulation and interference in geographic areas outside our neighborhood, especially in sub-Saharan Africa, and in the context of our CSDP civilian and military missions. We are strengthening our cooperation and response. We are investing in resilience and capacity building. And we are using the existing instruments, such as the Rapid Alert System on Disinformation, to the fullest of its potential. Investments in our international partnerships are crucial to tackle this threat globally and to safeguard our international rules-based order. This should lead us to developing international norms in this regard, an idea that your report, Mrs. Carniette, also puts forward and on which Europe should take a lead. We are exploring additional instruments that could allow us to impose costs on actors engaging in information manipulation and interference. And as the High Representative has already underlined in the plenary session in July, this requires an establishment of a careful balance between finding efficient approaches on the one hand and protecting the principles of freedom of speech on the other hand. But working in this direction is a must. We cannot remain idle while foreign powers are intervening and polluting our societies. And as you are indicating, Ms. Carniette, we need to equip ourselves with appropriate disruptive capabilities on the top of the diplomatic and deterrent responses that we have. We have to raise the costs of this interference. Mr. Chairman, honorable members, let me thank you once again for the work that you have been carrying out. I'm sure, Mrs. Carniette, that your report will provide us with important recommendations for the next step to strengthen the capability of the European Union and our capacity to tackle the threat of foreign information manipulation and interference. And I would like to reiterate our commitment to continue the cooperation with your committee and with the European Parliament, and of course with the Commission and with the all other stakeholders in the civil society, in order to put in place a more elaborated EU framework that would make our union more robust, more resilient, and more cohesive. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your introduction, Mr. Sanino. It's great that we share the same conscience that this topic is there for a long time. I mean, you said we need a long-time strategy, and I think that's the whole objective of this committee was to show how important this is to shape this strategy now, but for the years to come. And This is why we are so happy to have this long-awaited moment. The official presentation of the draft report by our rapporteur, Madame Cagnetti. I'm very to have this presentation at the same moment when we have the national parliaments and our partners in the room, even if it's virtually. So without further discussing it, dear Sandra, please give us the pleasure to discover your work, and you have the floor now for 15 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, dear colleagues, honorable members of National Parliament. It is a great honor to present the draft report today before such a wide and significant audience. Today, we have reached an important milestone in the work of our committee, and I would like to stress that this certainly is not an individual achievement. Therefore, I would like to warmly thank my shadow rapporteurs for their cooperation and ideas. My gratitude also goes to very dedicated personnel of the committee, as well as to EPP advisor and my own office team. At risk of repeating myself after what Mr. Chairman said and Mr. Sannino, I would like again to stress that our strategy to countering disinformation should be based on a risk-based of whole of society and whole of government approach. I have underlined in my report, but it is worth repeating, only with common efforts and cooperation at local, regional and national, as well as EU level, we will be able to tackle the foreign interference and disinformation, especially as they are closely linked to the development of new disruptive technologies. We should also keep in mind that no legislative measures can be adopted quickly enough to respond to all technological developments in real time. It is like trying to use a race car to catch up to a rocket ship. Consequently, our focus must lie on building an overall resilience base. The principle on which I have based the report, all measures to prevent, detect, and counter foreign interference must be designed in a way that respects and promotes fundamental rights, including respect for privacy, civil liberty, and the freedoms of thought and expression. The report is composed of two main blocks, reflecting the approach of the committee work over this past year. Metaphorically, a comprehensive diagnosis of the patient, namely the EU, in terms of its exposure and, unfortunately, contamination by foreign interference and disinformation. And secondly, the way forward, my suggestions for prescribed medicine and future preventive measures. I have structured the draft in 10 chapters. Need for an EU coordinated strategy against foreign interference, then building EU resilience through situational awareness, media literacy and education. Next, foreign interference using online platforms, followed by critical infrastructures and strategic sectors. Then covert funding of political activities by foreign donors, followed by cybersecurity and resilience against cyber attacks, then protection of EU institutions after interference through elite capture, national diasporas, universities, then deterrence and collective sanctions, and finally, global cooperation and multilateralism. First of all, I'm calling on the Commission to put on the table an effective strategy for tackling foreign interference and information manipulation in each of those sectors. In parallel, foreign interference and disinformation risks should be integrated into the current legislative and policy impact assessment architecture, which should be linked to a mechanism for assessing loopholes in existing legislation, and they are plenty. I also assess the major risks and propose the consequent actions to be taken. I will outline a few of them today. first for building EU resilience and awareness, further development of the EEAS STRATCOM division with its task forces is urgently needed. Providing greater resources for addressing hostile disinformation from China and also other countries, demonstrating growing assertiveness. Indeed, Europe must be more ambitious in its approach. Rather than narrowly reacting to threats from hostile actors in Moscow and Beijing, the EU must not shy away from speaking the language of power. At the same time, activities aimed at the third countries will not in and of themselves bring results without parallel efforts to strengthen the resilience of our own societies. Therefore, all member states, and I repeat, all member states, must include media and digital literacy in their educational programs, including those for diaspora and minorities. This should be the part of broader outreach to combat the severe lack of awareness, which is reality, of the severity of these threats across wide segments of societies and among policy makers in Europe. Online platforms are the center of everybody's attention when discussing disinformation. I sometimes compare the disinformation-related issues with creature, where the online platforms and infrastructure is its nervous system, but the money, its blood circulation system. We will never control the creature completely, but we can definitely make it weaker and less dominant in our information space. Dear colleagues, honorable members of national parliaments, the EU should set up mechanism for monitoring this implementation and identifying remaining potential loopholes of the legislation, whether in general data protection regulation or the upcoming Digital Services and Digital Market Acts. The situation when each member state interprets the rules substantially differently is not acceptable. The recent case, for example, of Ireland and Facebook. I'm also calling for assessing the regulatory situation and possibilities to put stricter conditions for information manipulation services or the data market. Although large parts of the data brokering industry are legal, the fact that several thousand loosely regulated private companies are possessing data of thousands of data points per average about an individual deserves proper impact assessment and the adoption of a set of international rules at minimum. Unfortunately, the risk of malicious actors getting access to such data amplifies the hybrid threats we face with grave consequences for our society, economy, and security. To sum up, for online platforms we need algorithmic accountability and transparency, data harvesting, storing, and selling accountability, exposing and containing inauthentic coordinated behaviors like troll and click bait farms, also as accountability, resources for the other languages apart from the English, and it is very important. Those requirements should be reflected in the upcoming legislative proposals and beyond. And yet, the vulnerabilities we see regarding online platforms, it is only the visible dimension of the psychological manipulation of our societies. Consequently, the mission of the INGE Committee and my report is also address the underlying deficiencies, and they are plenty, without addressing the causes enabling spread of disinformation and monetization of harmful content, we will never achieve sustained success. When focusing on critical infrastructures and strategic sectors, we need an overreaching EU approach to tackle issues of hybrid threats. to secure financing alternatives, to avoid large segments of EU's critical infrastructures coming in the possession of third countries, non-democratic countries, to strengthen cybersecurity and resilience against cyber attacks, alongside with many steps already taken. The EU should invest more in its capacities in the area of 5G and post-5G technologies in order to reduce supply chain dependencies on foreign suppliers and to develop risk mitigating measures for the new generation of technologies. When it comes to the protection of EU institutions, we need proper crisis management procedures for information manipulation cases, in order to prevent information manipulation from spreading. And now a few words about money. For covert funding of political activities by foreign donors, the prohibition of shell companies and more robust requirements to reveal origins of funding through so-called parent companies are essential. In my opinion, all member states should be moving towards the prohibition of political donations from third countries. However, the measures regarding national electoral laws are under competence of national legislators. Therefore, I appeal to national parliamentarians to keep these issues high on their domestic agenda. And today, I am very interested hearing your feedback. From my side, I am calling on the Commission to come up with the EU guidelines aimed at closing all loopholes that allow opaque financing of political parties from third country sources. It is also up to Member States and their national parliaments to consider the establishment of foreign influence registration scheme, creating a government-managed register of declared activities that are undertaken for on behalf of a foreign state. For this, we will be following the best practices of like-minded democracies, and I mean Australia. Dear colleagues, I would also like to turn your attention to the growing and pervasive threat of interference through elite capture. National diasporas, universities, all of which are politically very sensitive domains. The biggest hostile foreign actors here are Russia and China. I believe that there are measures EU can and should do to mitigate this. Reform the transparency register, including stringent transparency rules mapping foreign funding for EU-related lobbying, should be updated. For more effective deterrence and collective sanctions, I support adding to our toolbox, as Mr. Sannino mentioned, a sanctions regime under the relevant articles of the treaties in the field of foreign interference comprising disinformation. And as always, the weapon itself does not hold any power without the political will to use it. The EU must not shy away from acting from a position of power to combat hostile disinformation from foreign actors. With regard to the global cooperation and multilateralism, we need also closer engagement and commitment from other like-minded partners and democracies around the world. But there are things the EU can do on its own. We must seriously engage with the issue of foreign malicious interference within upcoming new strategic compass of the EU and start by strengthening the role of the delegations, EU delegations in third countries to reinforce their capabilities to debunk hostile disinformation campaigns. And to conclude, I also would like to underline that this is only the first stage of the report, as the final report, as Mr. Chairman said, should be adopted in March next year. Therefore, I am looking forward to fine-tuning the report after other MEPs will contribute with their amendments. I have no doubt that we will reach an effective compromise following lots of spirited debates. Thank you once again. I'm grateful for your partnership and support. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your exposé and your work on the report. Now I would like to give the floor to the members for 2 minutes each, starting with the ANGE shadow rapporteur, and starting with Mr. Schieder for the S&D. Floor is yours.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, honorable other speakers today, and dear rapporteur. I want to especially thank you, Sandra Cagnetti, for presenting this report. The report will be also at the end a conclusion of a very intensive work of the 1.5 year, where we work through a lot of phenomenons, but also a lot of information on how data platforms and other things are working. What we find out is that the situation is even worse than we expected. The foreign actors use social media companies, economic pressure, and also even political parties, mostly from the far right, within the European Union, even to destabilize also our model of democracy and stability. There is a symbiotic relationship between extreme parties, extreme right parties, and foreign interference actors to deliberately address and attack the foundations of liberal and open societies. We see these destabilizing efforts also in the elections, of the European elections, but also in France, in Spain, in the Brexit referendum, for example, and in many more occasions. And I think the report which we represent has also to reflect clearly on those findings. The currently report is a very good basis for further negotiations. We will also, of course, to discuss and table some other amendments. Already yesterday, we learned very much also of the presence of the whistleblower, Facebook whistleblower, Francis Hogan. And we have to, I think, all to include all these findings in our work. We have to speak about the failure of self-regulation of the social and online platforms, which has to be addressed. The model that relied on the goodwill of the platform is not working at all. And the business model on the other side is geared towards monetization of polarizing information. So the profit is stronger than the democracy model. We have to also work on the development of a common standard for party financing, and we have to work on structures for European resiliency through economic measures and also an EU capacity building in detecting and reacting towards such threats. What we also saw, for example, recently in our mission to Taiwan, how they work on this. Last point. I think we focused in the report very clearly on China and Russia, but we have to say also Turkey, Saudi Arabia and other actors are active. And I think we have to include also the Western Balkan perspective, where we see constant attacks and destabilization efforts, which especially, of course, is linked also with the EU accession countries, and which we have to address also as a European Union. Having said this, thank you for your report and the huge work which has been done, and I'm looking forward that we, at the end, will have a very good example how the European Union will tackle this phenomenon which is threatening our societies.
Thank you. Now for Renew, the Shadow Rapporteur, Mr. Grotius. Floor is yours.
Thank you very much, Chair. And thank you very much, Ms. Sandra Cagnetti, for your great work as rapporteur on this file. And we've long awaited this report, and I think that we can fully support the main line in this and the overall message. It says it's not just something that we should look at from a tech perspective, a platform problem, but it's also that we should look who is behind these operations, who is exploiting these favorable conditions, and that is very much to our liking. So it rightly also praises what we already have in place, for example, the EU versus disinfo, the Stratcom task forces. Which other continent, dear colleagues, has such a capability? Do the Americans have that? Do the Chinese have that? No, it's Europe who has it. Let's praise it and let's expand it also to the Far East, as we've also expressed. So I'm glad. I'd like to focus on three points, Ms. Rapporteur, that our group like to put forward. First is we've always also put forward a couple of amendments in the DSA, which will also be reflected here. It's crucially that we do something about the power of platforms. First of all, data for legitimate access seekers, data for our research community, data to ensure that we know if we hold a referendum or a presidential election, that we at least can say that it's our own decision. It has not been tampered with by anyone else, that we have that data because the Brits and the US, they still are not capable of saying whether a foreign power actually intervened. We should be capable of doing it. But we should also tackle rules on advertising. That market is not functioning well. I want to see, ad libraries harmonized across cross-platforms. Which advertisements has been served, to whom, at what time, to what purposes, paid by who? It's extremely important that we have that. May I also remark that it's crucially important that we speak out as Parliament in favor of labeling deepfakes when they are uploaded on a platform. It cannot go virally undisturbed. It's very important that we do so. And I would also ask for a more transparent process and a reinforced regulatory backstop at the code of practice on this information. Now, second, and I'll be much shorter now, it's the funding of the COVID funding of political advertising and political parties. And although I support a ban on funding coming from third countries, we should not be naive. They will also find other ways to fund issue-based advertising or funding individuals directly, and therefore we must also concentrate for a publicly register to see who is funding these streams. Now, lastly, finally, I'm concerned by the lack of norms that we communicate as a European community to our adversaries in this domain, to response. It has been inaction to intellectual property theft, inaction to economic coercion, inaction to cyber sabotage, cyber espionage, inaction to election interference that actually fostered the calculus of low cost, low risk, high reward. And it's disturbing. And what we have now, a cyber diplomacy toolbox, is good, but it's not good enough. It's either a tweet by the High Representative or it's a sanction against an individual. But it's nothing in between. There's a grey space that we can exploit. We should address the Russians in third countries, in the OSCE, in the UN, here in Brussels, on every level that we can, so that the MID rings the bell internally and they tamper. Last but not least, let's learn from Australia, the canary in the coal mine here, and many of the things that we will put forward is that we learn from them. Now, thank you very much, Ms. Rapporteur. I look forward to you with negotiating this in the next coming months. Back to you, Mr. Glucksmann, as chair of this great committee.
Yeah, as you have seen, I'm very generous with the time, but it will stop to the shadow rapporteurs, and then I will be very much stricter, because otherwise...
But
I said, and it would be fair to all shadow protesting rapporteurs, they will have at least 3 minutes each, as I have noticed. So, Madame von Kramen-Taubadel for the Greens, the floor is yours for 3 minutes at least.
Thank you, Chair, dear Sandra. Thank you, colleagues, and also welcome to all the members of the National Parliament here today. We really like your comprehensive draft report, which already includes many of our amendments in the first draft and also our priorities. So we really appreciate this very inclusive draft. We would like to make this highlighting the crucial work of China's United Front in interference operations, as well as the role of the Confucius Institute and Chinese interference in the field of research and training, which is extremely important for us. We will furthermore propose several changes, additions to the draft report, and the following areas of key relevance for us in this regard. Dimension of disinformation on gender, climate change, and migration is entirely absent in the draft report. We want to address vulnerabilities and discrimination, which, for example, women and LGBT people are facing online, as well as the finding of our hearing on the financing of anti-choice organizations. Second point would be, and this was partly mentioned by Bart already, the chapter on online platforms should take into account the business model of the platforms as an underlying problem. It is also, at least for us, very important in this regard to include a reference to preserving the right to communicate anonymously online as a key building block for the freedom of expression. Third point, we will make more ambitious additions to the chapter of COVID funding, better taking into account the recommendation we received in our hearings, especially as regards online political advertising and a harmonized approach across EU member states, including full transparency of this inflows and outflows of money for political advertising, greater accountability of algorithm systems, and reference to the recommendations of the Venice Commission and GRECO. Fourth, would be appreciate the inclusion of the revelations around Pegasus spyware. Probably next week there will be another spyware described in the German newspaper coming from the Russians. So this is an issue we should make several additions in this regard. The NSO group has been blacklisted by the US recently, and we should promote an immediate global moratorium on the sale, transfer, and use of spyware technology and the adoption of a robust regulatory framework in this field in the EU and hopefully also on the international level. Fifth point, as regards the protection of EU institutions, we should also know that the EP is not exempt from undue influence, and we will make additions to regarding issues such as transparency and access to the EP, to so-called friendship groups. We had many, let's say, irritating cases here, and also still ongoing traveling and election observations. There is a clear showing of foreign interference, and so far we have no regulatory framework to completely exclude that. Second last point is the global and regional cooperation. There is no ambition yet, especially what Andrea Schieder has mentioned regarding the neighborhood of Western Balkan Eastern Partnership. This is very often a test case, especially from the Russian side. A Balkan-focused center of excellency on disinformation is a key for us in order to coordinate, conduct research and data collection, and communicate prevalent risk in the region. And the last thing is, of course, further amendments to recommendations identified by the European Court of Auditors, especially when it comes to improvements of the operational and structural arrangements of the Stratcom division and its task force. So very much looking forward, as we have done before, to cooperate and work with you and all the other shadows to improve the draft report even more. Thank you so much.
Thank you, and you have beaten Mr. Grotius in terms of timing, so it's not a general contest. Please, Mr. Dreosto, the floor is yours for the ID group.
Grazie, Presidente. Anch'io voglio ringraziare la relatrice per il lavoro che sta facendo. Ritengo sia stata fatta una buona dinamica, una buona disamina dei fatti, e quindi ci sono in particolare, voglio sottolineare, anche degli spunti soprattutto sulla questione cinese che ci sta a cuore, ma è importante sottolineare come anche il Parlamento europeo e l'Unione europea sia estremamente preoccupata di questi fatti e delle interferenze appunto di Pechino. Io, Presidente, volevo sottolineare come dal lavoro di questa Commissione sia importante dare un segnale di unità. Lo dobbiamo fare perché lei l'ha sottolineato e l'ha detto durante la nostra visita, la nostra missione a Taiwan, l'unità premia e soprattutto dà credibilità al lavoro che stiamo facendo. Ritengo quindi estremamente importante che da questo rapporto, lo voglio sottolineare alla relatrice, non emergano tensioni e soprattutto non ci siano usi strumentali del lavoro che viene fatto, in particolare per questioni di politica interna che evidentemente andrebbero a svilire il lavoro, l'importante lavoro che in tutti questi mesi, con le tantissime audizioni, con i tantissimi incontri, questa Commissione ha portato avanti. Sicuramente anche noi, come altri, presenteremo alcuni emendamenti che cercheranno di migliorare, contribuire in qualche modo al lavoro che è stato fatto, poi sicuramente avremo modo di discutere. Però vorrei ancora una volta sottolineare il mio auspicio proprio che ci sia un clima estremamente collaborativo e di unità, che darà un senso veramente compiuto al lavoro che stiamo portando avanti con tanto, tanto, tanto impegno. E questo è proprio il motivo per cui se saremo e condivideremo questo tipo di percorso, il lavoro di tutti questi mesi avrà risvolti legislativi importanti, ma soprattutto grande, grande credibilità. Quindi questo è il mio messaggio. Voglio ancora una volta ringraziare la relatrice per l'importante lavoro che sta portando avanti. Grazie.
Grazie. For the ECR group, Madame Melbard, you have the floor.
Thank you, and dear colleagues, dear members of the national parliaments. I would also like to start by thanking our distinguished rapporteur for the tremendous work that have been invested in the preparation of this report to seek comprehensive solutions for the complex problem of foreign interference. And let me also thank you for taking into account the ideas of shadow rapporteurs already at this stage. For a continuation of our work, in my amendments, I will offer additional ideas and courses of action focusing in particular on strengthening the parts dealing with the importance of independent media and professional journalism. Indeed, we need to improve the capacity of journalists as a vital part of the fact-checking and research ecosystem. In addition, in principle, the economic viability of the media must be strengthened because accessible, fact-based, quality information is the strongest antidote to disinformation. Thus, I strongly support the proposed establishment of a European Democratic Media Fund that would support independent journalism in European neighbourhood. But at the same time, we cannot forget about the need to strengthen independent media within the EU itself, which is why I also call for a European Media Fund aimed at promoting a diverse professional media environment in the EU countries. Furthermore, I would also like to underline the importance of comprehensive education. I completely agree with the focus of the report on building a sustainable resilience of our societies through quality education, including media and information literacy. In this respect, I propose to develop an overarching European media and information literacy strategy. We should also adapt examples from like-minded countries and make the education sector itself much more resilient to external influences. In conclusion, I would like to express my belief that with this report we will send out a strong political signal. Dear colleagues, if such comprehensive deterrence policy as proposed by the report had been developed earlier, I believe Lukashenko and Putin would not have had a chance to establish or to escalate the situation on the external eastern border of the European Union, and we would have been much more effective in anticipating and dealing with this deliberately planned inhuman hybrid attack. And it's also and the same true not only about such physical attacks, but also for information operations. And thank you one more time, Sandra, for an excellent draft report. And I'm looking forward to collaboration with you and with your team.
Thank you. And now for the group left, the left, Madame Daly, you have the floor. Sorry.
Thanks very much, Chair, and sincere thanks to Sandra. I have to say it's a real credit to her that she's tried to take on board the input from all of the groups, and it really does show in the draft report that we have before us. I have to say it's very light on divisive rhetoric, which is great, and we really applaud that. And we're very pleased to see some of the concerns of our group represented, including social media algorithms and political funding of the far right and so on. And I think it's fair to say that the rapporteur has ensured that the draft report accurately represents the proceedings that were before the committee, which is exactly the job that she had to do, but it's exactly where the problem lies for us, because we've made no secret of the fact that we disagree with the fundamental assumptions that the mandate of the committee is based on. I mean, so-called foreign interference by Russia and China, even when it's real, is not a serious threat to European democracy. There are far more serious ones, and by excluding them and only looking into the alleged aggressions of our official enemies, we think we've lost an opportunity to have a serious inquiry into how we might protect our democracy, and that the committee has become really an airing house for doctored evidence and fake expertise to invent a sort of a fantastical securitised threats, generate pretext for an aggressive NATO-driven EU foreign policy, something that we're fundamentally opposed to. So it's not a surprise that the draft report has serious issues for us, some of them fundamental. And we're concerned that claims which are just conventional wisdom and are thoroughly unsupported by real evidence run through the document and form the bedrock of assumptions. If you take the Brexit referendum, for example, the text says it's a case of foreign interference. That's factually unsupported. An investigation by the UK Office of the Information Commissioner found no interference from Russia or tampering in that referendum. I know people here would like it to be true, but it isn't. And we're not going to be, I suppose, persuaded into that fictitious reality. So with the genuine and sincere gratitude to Sandra, and I really mean that we have got on very well in this process, it will be difficult for us to alter the report, and we may instead be looking at tabling a minority report. Very briefly, three quick points aside from that, in any case, which I hope that colleagues could agree with, and that I think should be removed. I mean, the mention of the allegations of Russian collusion with the Catalans and calling for an investigation, I think, is completely inappropriate. If anything, there should be an investigation into how the Catalan leaders were targeted by illegal spyware, had their messages intercepted and leaked by a foreign power. A second major problem is the section on elite capture. Now, the report correctly points out that revolving doors and golden parachutes are a very serious problem for our democracy, but not just when former officials go to work for Russia and China. Can we not include the ones who went to Goldman Sachs, to the ECB? That's a corporate capture as well. Last point is the point on national diasporas. We're very uneasy about the attempt to portray ethnic minorities within the EU as sources of foreign interference. We have to be very careful about this. It's not far away from fifth column talk, and we know where that led to. So we hope we could get agreement at least on those points. And again, I just really want to thank Sandra for her work and for her infinite patience and professionalism.
Thank you. Thank you for the initial comments. Before I give the floor to other members, I would like to thank Mr. Stanino again for his introductory remarks. I know you have to leave us. I gave more time to the shadow so that you could stay longer with us because we like your presence. So come back quickly. And thank you for being with us today. Thank you. And now we will come back. I'm so sorry, Mr. Bilczyk, to the strict rule of the 2 minutes, otherwise we won't be able to give the floor to everybody. So Mr. Bilczyk, you have the floor for the EPP group.
Thank you very much, Chair, and I want to congratulate and thank our rapporteur, Sandra Kalnieta, for a very comprehensive draft, a very good text, which I think is an excellent basis for the output of this committee. And maybe just to react to some of the points we've heard in the discussion already, I think when we talk about external interference, it is precisely what the external actors want to see amongst us. Divisions. When we talk about examples, how Russia interferes, how China interferes. And I think we should, and this paper is an excellent basis for that, be united in our attempt to really be stronger, be more resilient, and be prepared to fight off the external attempts to undermine our democracy and divide us across Europe. I think there is a very clear analysis in the paper. We understand what the problems are, and we also understand what needs to be done to tackle them. I think it's important to really get to tackling them. I welcome the rapporteur's suggestion to have a comprehensive strategy how to deal with the problem of external interference and disinformation. But I think we should also use the specific opportunities to address particular points as soon as we can. And here we already have in the pipeline the already mentioned Digital Services Act when it comes to potential systemic steps to really tackle the way the platforms operate in spreading disinformation. I think we need to use it, and we need to use it also with the support and the help of this paper. I welcome a number of the suggestions, and this is my last point, Chair, which call for the empowerment of the executive bodies in the European Union in member states. But maybe we should also look at the way we should empower the parliaments. We have this discussion with national member parliamentarians, and also this parliament when it comes to scrutiny, when it comes to accountability of those who should be tasked with fighting disinformation and foreign interference on our behalf. And this would be a suggestion which I would like to perhaps discuss further as we work on the final text of this report. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And now we are going to Ireland. Madam Niamh Smith, if you are with us, the floor is yours. You are the chair of the Joint Committee on Tourism, Culture, Arts, Sport and Media.
Thank you very much, Chair, and delighted to be part of the conversation today. And you're absolutely right, I do chair our joint committee here in Ireland, which examines two key areas of interest under discussion for today's meeting, namely the consideration of the use of algorithmic decision-making by online platforms and also the issue of online disinformation. The committee recently completed its pre-legislative scrutiny of the Online Safety and Media Regulation Bill following its referral to the committee by our government. As the online environment has gradually become increasingly interwoven with the lives of a majority of society, the committee has sought to understand how this legislation can best respect human rights while preserving the safety of every user who is on it. This work is now critical and crucial to a democratic and pluralistic society. The committee explicitly seeks to safeguard and promote participation in the processes that will underpin the regulatory landscape so that it may develop in a responsive and effective manner. The committee calls for the specific appointment of an online safety commissioner here in Ireland as part of a wider media commission to oversee the new regulatory framework for online safety. It is proposed that the commissioner will govern the new framework through binding online safety codes and robust compliance, enforcement and sanction powers to address the problems of harmful content and online communications. Recognising the serious threat of disinformation, the committee has called for disinformation to be included as a category of online harm content under the provision of the Online Safety and Media Regulation Bill to align with the Digital Services Act. In examining the bill in its current form, the committee considered provisions that develop codes to mandate platform transparency in at least two of the aspects of the use of algorithmic decision-making. One, mechanisms by which these processes occur, and secondly, where exactly these processes are applied, calling for greater transparency in the use of algorithms. The targeting of certain information, in particular uses via algorithmics, was cited as potentially harmful and exploitive use of such technology. Chair, I'm mindful that I'm way over my 2 minutes, but just to thank you for today's meeting and really enjoying the conversation and debate so far.
Thank you, and you were right in the limit, so it was perfect. Now we go to Spain and to Mr. Francisco Javier Marquez Sanchez from the Spanish Senate.
Sí, hola, buenas tardes. Bueno, quiero en primer lugar pues agradecer tanto al presidente como a la señora Cañete, como al resto de los intervinientes, pero especialmente por el proyecto que se ha presentado, que entiendo que efectivamente es muy completo. tendríamos que decir que la desinformación siempre ha existido, ¿no? La desinformación ha existido, pero que ahora ha cambiado con las nuevas tecnologías, ¿no? Y el proyecto creo que habrá varios pilares importantes, ¿no? No solamente culturales, no solamente desde la perspectiva de la educación, de la financiación, desde los aspectos geopolíticos y desde los aspectos tecnológicos, ¿no? Creo que es importante que desde el marco de la Unión Europea se dé una batalla cultural desde el punto de vista democrático. Y creo que además no solamente hay que darla, sino que hay que ganarla. Es decir, frente a la injerencia de países no democráticos, efectivamente nosotros tenemos que hacer valer pues lo que nos une, que es el valor de la democracia en este sentido, ¿no? Pero nosotros también tenemos que tener en cuenta que en materia de desinformación, y como bien dice el proyecto, bueno, pues tenemos que tener en cuenta que hay vulnerabilidades. La primera vulnerabilidad que nosotros tenemos es que quizás la ciudadanía no es consciente de esos ataques, de esa injerencia. Y por tanto, desde las instituciones tendríamos que hacer un esfuerzo pues, para que realmente sean conscientes de ello. Pero además que en el marco de las nuevas tecnologías, para que haya desinformación, quien las provoca tiene que tener datos nuestros. Los datos, como todos sabemos, el petróleo de las nuevas sociedades, ¿no? Y las nuevas tecnologías no solamente provocan que esta desinformación se vaya realizando de una forma más barata, más rápida, que es lo que siempre decimos, sino que realmente le estamos ofreciendo datos para seguir sus acciones. Por tanto, es muy importante, como bien dice el proyecto, la soberanía digital de la Unión Europea, creo que es clave. Segundo, no depender tanto tecnológicamente de terceros países y sobre todo, dos palabras. La Unión Europea debiera profundizar en el análisis de datos, no solamente en el Big Data, sino también en el Small Data, que sirve para segmentar a la gente y para que los algoritmos sean realmente más transparentes. En definitiva, dar las gracias por el proyecto porque realmente creo que es un buen instrumento para seguir trabajando. Muchas gracias.
Thank you so much for being with us. And now we go to the birthplace of democracy, to Greece, and Mr. Andreas Nikolakopoulos from the Hellenic Parliament. Thank you for joining us. The floor is yours.
Ευχαριστώ, κύριε αξιοεισηγήτρια, κύριες και κύριοι ευρωβουλευτές, κύριες και κύριοι συνάδελφοι. Καλούμαστε να ανταλλάξουμε απόψεις για ένα κρίσιμο θέμα και συγκεκριμένα για τις εξωτερικές παρεμβάσεις συμπεριλαμβανομένης και της παραπληροφόρησης σε όλες τις δημοκρατικές διαδικασίες στην Ευρωπαϊκή Ένωση και για το θέμα αυτό η εισήγηση που ακούσαμε ήταν ιδιαίτερα σημαντική και κατατοπιστική. Η Ευρωπαϊκή Ένωση, η μεγάλη μας οικογένεια, στηρίζεται σε αξίες που αποτελούν αναπόσπαστο μέρος του ευρωπαϊκού τρόπου ζωής. Οι αξίες αυτές είναι κοινές μεταξύ των κρατών μελών και αφορούν την ανθρώπινη αξιοπρέπεια, την ελευθερία, την ισότητα, την αλληλεγγύη, το σεβασμό, τα ανθρώπινα δικαιώματα και φυσικά τη δημοκρατία και το κράτος δικαίου. Δυστυχώς όμως έχουν παρατηρηθεί σε διάφορες διαδικασίες, έχουν παρουσιαστεί αρκετές περιπτώσεις ξένων παρεμβάσεων οι οποίες προσπαθούν να παραβιάσουν αυτές τις αξίες. Οι παρεμβάσεις αυτές άλλοτε κερδίζουν κάποια μικρής κλίμακας ωφέλη, για παράδειγμα στο εμπόριο ή την οικονομία, άλλοτε εκμεταλλεύονται πολιτικές εξελίξεις στην Ευρωπαϊκή Ένωση για εσωτερικά ζητήματα ή ορισμένες φορές βοηθούν την εκλογή των πολιτικών τους συμμάχων. Η ξένη παρέμβαση συνιστά μια σοβαρή παραβίαση. Συνιστά χειραγώγηση πληροφόρησης με διάφορες τακτικές παρέμβασης που έχουν στόχο να επηρεάσουν την κοινωνία και να εστιάσουν ενδεχομένως σε μια διαφορετική κατεύθυνση που θα οδηγήσει σε αρνητικά αποτελέσματα. Σε αυτό το πρόβλημα οφείλουμε να εστιάσουμε, να συνεργαστούμε και να ακολουθήσουμε όλοι μαζί μια κοινή στρατηγική που θα βασίζεται σε αυτά τα γεγονότα και θα εξοπλίζει την Ευρωπαϊκή Ένωση με ισχυρότερα εργαλεία για την καταπολέμηση κάθε εξωτερικής παρέμβασης. Οφείλουμε μέσω των κοινοβουλευτικών επιτροπών, τόσο σε διεθνές όσο και σε εθνικό επίπεδο, να αναπτύξουμε συζητήσεις για αυτό το σοβαρό πρόβλημα, ώστε να προσεγγίσουμε βέλτιστες πρακτικές σχετικά με τον τρόπο αντιμετώπισης των προκλήσεων που θέτει η ξένη παρέμβαση. Πρώτη στο μέλημα πρέπει να είναι η διαπίστωση κάθε φορά και η ανάδειξη τέτοιων παρεμβάσεων. Άρα, επόμενο μας βήμα πρέπει να είναι η ανάδειξη ενός συστήματος έγκαιρης προειδοποίησης εντός κάθε χώρας με σκοπό τον άμεσο εντοπισμό της ξένης παρέμβασης. Ένα σύστημα που θα χρησιμοποιείται από κοινού μέσω των κοινοβουλευτικών επιτροπών αλλά και άλλων κοινών επιτροπών σε τεχνικό επίπεδο που θα ενεργοποιείται μέσω της ανταλλαγής πληροφοριών. Και βέβαια, οφείλουμε να θεσπίσουμε ένα κατάλληλο νομοθετικό πλαίσιο που θα ορίζει κανόνες δεοντολογίας, ιδιαίτερα στους διάβλους ενημέρωσης μέσω του διαδικτύου. Έχοντας ως βάση τις κοινές μας αξίες, μπορούμε να προάγουμε τη στενότερη συνεργασία μεταξύ των κρατών μελών της Ευρωπαϊκής Ένωσης. Και είμαι σίγουρος για την επιτυχή έκβαση αυτής της συνεργασίας, η οποία θα καταστήσει την Ευρωπαϊκή Ένωση πιο ισχυρή, ακόμα πιο ενωμένη, να αντιμετωπίσει κάθε δυσμενή εξωτερικό παράγοντα. Σας ευχαριστώ.
Thank you, and we are back to this room, and for the S&D, Mr. Majorino, you have the floor.
Grazie, Presidente. Intanto davvero complimenti all'onorevole Calniete per il lavoro. Esso rappresenta un'ottima base di confronto per tutti noi ed è un fatto molto importante, come credo che sia importante considerare l'azione che stiamo sviluppando come quanto diceva prima il Presidente, cioè qualcosa che non si fermerà a marzo, ma che andrà avanti. Noi abbiamo bisogno di far sì che il Parlamento in forma permanente si doti degli strumenti per sviluppare azioni di contrasto alle interferenze. E i contenuti della relazione, come dicevano anche i relatori ombra, sono davvero l'ottima base da cui partire. Sottolineo alcuni punti particolarmente significativi, su cui magari con gli emendamenti potremo rafforzare anche alcuni principi. Il primo, quello dell'importanza dell'educazione, dell'azione culturale, preventiva, della resilienza come diffusione di contenuti. Il secondo, l'aspetto rilevante, riguarda la necessità di chiamare in causa più direttamente le piattaforme. Non basta assolutamente la pratica dell'autoregolamentazione, lo abbiamo detto in maniera molto molto netta, ci vogliono interventi mirati di maggiore responsabilizzazione, molto più chiari. Il terzo punto è relativo alla questione dei soldi, dei fondi, dei finanziamenti rispetto alla politica. Da questo punto di vista purtroppo arriviamo da troppi episodi opachi. Anche a me piace il clima unitario, me lo auguro. Non dimentichiamoci però che la nostra Commissione nasce anche da quanto si è verificato in Austria, in Francia, in Italia, rispetto a rapporti relativi tra l'entourage di Putin, ad esempio, e soggetti politici della destra più radicale. Non possiamo far finta di nulla. Grazie.
Grazie, and we are staying in Italy, in a way, and joining the Italian Chamber of Deputies and Madame Sabrina De Carlo. Lei ha la parola.
Ok, un attimo. Grazie per l'importante lavoro svolto. E da tempo ormai vengono infatti esercitate interferenze da parte di paesi extraeuropei nei modi più svariati, per indebolire popoli ritenuti nemici o per esercitare influenze sugli assetti di potere dei paesi amici utili ai propri interessi. Complici le nuove tecnologie, l'istantanea fruibilità di notizie, dati e narrazioni talvolta distorte possono avere un impatto rilevante sia sulla vita dei singoli sia sugli equilibri politici e economici. Le fake news sono tuttavia soltanto una piccola parte del processo di destabilizzazione di uno Stato, ma il fenomeno non deve essere sottovalutato. Siamo di fronte ad una sorta di guerra ibrida che prevede tecniche di cyberterrorismo e hackeraggio, come tra l'altro avvenuto lo scorso settembre quando un attacco hacker ha mandato in blocco l'intero sistema informatico della regione Lazio, con pesanti ricadute sulle prenotazioni per la somministrazione dei vaccini, le procedure delle farmacie e le forniture ospedaliere. I politici con i social media e i media tradizionali possono più o meno intenzionalmente prestare il fianco alle interferenze straniere, contribuendo a diffondere disinformazione, orientando le opinioni pubbliche e fomentando le tensioni socio-economiche. Per fronteggiare queste situazioni è necessario rafforzare la coscienza di comunità e investire sull'alfabetizzazione delle persone, dando loro gli strumenti culturali per essere più indipendenti e in grado di analizzare le informazioni. Ma questo certamente non basta ed è necessario sviluppare stringenti meccanismi di tutela. Su un punto in particolare la relatrice mi trova d'accordo: è necessario contrastare con ogni mezzo a disposizione le situazioni di conflitti di interesse con paesi stranieri affinché chi riveste un ruolo in politico e istituzionale di rilievo non possa contemporaneamente ricevere compensi da uno Stato straniero. Anche su temi come l'attività di lobbying e il conflitto di interessi, la Commissione Affari Costituzionali che rappresento ha oggi, attraverso le proposte di legge in discussione, la possibilità di intervenire a tutela della trasparenza e della legalità per colmare il vuoto normativo presente ancora tuttora nel nostro Paese. In conclusione, abbiamo urgentemente bisogno di riforme e azioni incisive, ma, come già detto, per raggiungere questi obiettivi gli Stati membri non possono gestire queste minacce agendo separatamente. Grazie.
Grazie a lei. And now we come back to this room, and for the group Renew, we hear Nathalie Loiseau. You have the floor.
Merci, Monsieur le Président, et merci à notre rapporteur pour tout son travail. Qui est un travail tout à fait considérable. Je voudrais toutefois nous encourager à être encore plus ambitieux, encore plus précis, et notamment à ne pas hésiter à donner des exemples des ingérences dont nous avons connaissance et que nous dénonçons. Le rapport mentionne la Russie et la Chine, il le fait à juste titre, mais nous savons qu'il y a aussi d'autres acteurs, étatiques et non étatiques, qui nous menacent, et nous ne devons pas reculer et nous ne devons pas passer ces actions-là sous silence. Vous ne serez pas surpris que je souhaite aussi que l'on mentionne les ingérences qui visent nos opérations et nos missions militaires à l'extérieur, parce qu'elles en sont la cible et le but est de nuire à leur action et à leur efficacité. Sur les questions de code de bonne pratique, de DSA, de DMA, et tous les textes qui s'inscrivent dans le cadre du plan d'action pour la démocratie, il me semble que nous devons être plus ambitieux dans notre rapport. L'autorégulation des plateformes ne fonctionne pas. Les amendements que je proposerai iront dans le sens de plus de transparence et de contrôle des plateformes, de leurs algorithmes, basés sur des indicateurs de performance précis, un organisme de contrôle et de notation des plateformes. Et puis, je voudrais que nous soyons conscients que certaines catégories de nos concitoyens sont davantage ciblées par les ingérences étrangères. Je pense aux femmes, je pense aux LGBT et je pense à certaines minorités. Je voudrais que notre rapport n'hésite pas à le dire. Enfin, c'est mentionné, mais on peut sans doute insister encore davantage, beaucoup passera par l'éducation, éducation aux médias, éducation au numérique, éducation à la science. Enseignement de l'histoire, ce sont des armes d'instruction massive de résistance aux ingérences étrangères malveillantes.
Merci infiniment. Et maintenant, nous retournons en Italie pour le Sénat cette fois-ci et Monsieur Enrico Aimi. Vous avez la parole.
Ah sì, grazie. Grazie per avermi dato la parola. Desidero ricordare che oggi è il 9 novembre, l'anniversario della caduta del muro di Berlino. Fatti tragici che però ci riportano ad una situazione che è quella attuale. La disinformazione esisteva allora. Voglio ricordare Jörg Hartmann, bambino di 10 anni, ammazzato dai Vopos. In Italia arrivarono informazioni deformate in conseguenza di una propaganda che allora il sistema comunista lanciava in Italia e c'erano gli accoliti che raccoglievano. Queste interferenze quindi attraverso la disinformazione non sono un fatto solamente di oggi, appartengono alla storia un po' dell'Europa, però non possiamo permetterci nemmeno di sottovalutarle. Peraltro l'Europa, in particolare i paesi dell'Unione Europea, non sono mai stati quindi immuni da queste situazioni. L'abbiamo ricordato, quindi la guerra fredda, quella che veniva chiamata disinformazione. Queste pericolose interferenze continuano anche oggi e hanno una precisa caratteristica che non muta mai, cioè provengono essenzialmente da regimi totalitari e autoritari, i quali attraverso tali azioni cercano ovviamente di invadere, inquinare, disarticolare il sistema democratico. La drammatica esperienza che stiamo ancora vivendo riguarda la pandemia del Covid-19 e rappresenterà purtroppo un ulteriore caso di sperimentazione delle tecniche più aggressive di disinformazione che arrivano ovviamente sulla stampa e anche oltre. In un articolo del marzo scorso apparso su Le Monde si dà conto di un poderoso studio, 600 pagine, dell'Istituto delle Ricerche Strategiche della Scuola Militare, dove in maniera molto dettagliata è illustrata l'azione tentacolare massiccia e diffusa a livello globale che la Cina ha approntato, mettendo in azione una campagna sistematica di operazioni di influenza, avuto riguardo a tutti i dossier sensibili per Pechino, naturalmente Hong Kong, Taiwan e anche sulle origini del virus. Per tutta questa serie di motivi è da accogliere con grande favore la circostanza che il Parlamento europeo abbia deciso di costituire nel 2020 un'apposita commissione speciale sulle interferenze straniere nei processi democratici, inclusa appunto la disinformazione. È infatti prioritario che le democrazie dell'Unione europea reagiscano in maniera coesa a tutela dei principi basilari che da secoli rappresentano il DNA del mondo occidentale. Concludo dicendo che è indispensabile che la difesa dalle influenze esterne non avvenga solo a livello nazionale, ma sia coordinata a livello dell'Unione Europea, tra tutti gli Stati democratici dell'Unione e in stretta collaborazione con altri paesi affini, in primis con gli Stati Uniti d'America.
Grazie. Adesso andiamo, we are turning, going back to Ireland and to Mr. Malcolm Byrne. If you listen to us, then you have the floor.
Thank you very much, Chair, and thank you for the opportunity to contribute. To agree with Ms. Caliente when she spoke about the importance of media and digital literacy, this cannot just be about regulation. It also has to be about building a level of awareness among all of our citizens, and it shouldn't just be the formal education targeted at young people. We need all of our citizens to have a level of media and digital literacy that they can understand the new environment in which we operate. And in addition, I think it's particularly important for policymakers at a national and European level to have a sufficient level of media and digital literacy. This is, at the end of the day, about values. It's about the values of democracy, rule of law, evidence-based policy research, freedom of expression. They are core European values. And what is important that we do is not only that we defend them, but that also that we promote them and that we promote them against foreign interference. My colleague, Niamh Smith, spoke earlier about in Ireland how we are bringing forward legislation which will end the era of self-regulation of the platforms. And this is something that, as part of the DSA, will be very important. I think we also need to look around issues relating to the rules and ownership and control of platforms and new technologies. This is going to be particularly important, obviously, in the case of China. Fundamentally, this is for us to protect those values that are important to us as Europeans. It's a really important piece of work. Like my colleagues, I welcome the opportunity to take part and also welcome the report. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for joining. Now we go back to this room. And for the Renew Group, Madame Pagazaur Tundua, the floor is yours.
Muchas gracias, presidente. Bueno, señora Caliente, hoy es un día histórico y es un proyecto de informe realmente histórico e importante. La situación es peor de la que imaginábamos cuando empezó el trabajo de la Comisión de Desinformación y precisamente por eso nuestro trabajo tiene que ser excelente también en adelante, hasta la aprobación del informe definitivo. Se ha dicho, el nivel de desinformación que se genera por injerencia es posible o no sería posible sin el mundo de Internet, sin un modelo de negocio que favorece la adicción y la polarización. Es una situación de simbiosis entre esa manera extrema de negocio de las grandes plataformas y los intereses de quienes quieren reventar las democracias, y en concreto las democracias europeas. Esta situación, esta manera de simbiosis posible nos la corroboró ayer Frances Haugen. Mis compañeros de grupo han intervenido, hay muchas cosas que se han dicho que estoy absolutamente de acuerdo. A mí me interesa trabajar un poco más la parte relativa a la financiación encubierta de actividades políticas por donantes extranjeros. Se menciona a Rusia y a China, pero tal vez deberíamos incluir también a países como Venezuela. En febrero de 2020, Sergio Lavrov y Nicolás Maduro firmaron solemnemente su vínculo estratégico y geopolítico. Se pusieron de tiros largos. Los que se daban la mano son los mismos que generan polarización de ultraizquierda, que tiene relaciones antisistema, que tiene relaciones en distintos países de la Unión Europea, los que tienen la relación de la polarización contraria con la derecha más reaccionaria y con también, desgraciadamente, con los secesionistas catalanes. Todos ellos son desleales con respecto al proyecto de Europa. Todos ellos son desleales, este es el elemento común, con las democracias europeas. También están todas las recomendaciones sobre la alfabetización. Efectivamente, si a los paquetes de tabaco les ponemos todo tipo de recomendaciones, si nosotros estamos viviendo en Internet, mucho más tenemos que poner. Bien, está también la cuestión de las sanciones, no me quiero ir de tiempo. Yo le agradezco también que haya incluido la investigación de esos hechos tan graves que se refieren al ataque al Estado Democrático en España y, por tanto, europeo. Y a defender, creo que tenemos que defender lealmente nuestros valores e intereses como europeos, porque nos va el futuro en ello, porque sabemos que esto realmente es serio y además las familias lo deben conocer. Muchísimas gracias.
Gracias. And now we go to Portugal, to the Portuguese Assembly, and Madame Ilidia Quadrado. You have the floor.
Muito obrigada. Este tema é, sem dúvida, extremamente pertinente, considerando todos os desafios e ameaças que a nossa sociedade encara. Cumprimento, por isso, a autora deste relatório. Os avanços digitais globalizados exigem dos países um equilíbrio entre a proteção das liberdades, civis e a segurança nacional. Com efeito, as liberdades de informação, de comunicação e de expressão que caracterizam as democracias liberais, permitem que a desinformação prolifere sem controle. A percepção de um processo comprometido prejudica a vitalidade de qualquer democracia, que se baseia num alicerce de confiança e envolvimento com instituições e processos de democracia. Saliento ainda que o impacto das informações falsas, disseminadas como notícias confiáveis nas redes sociais, tem implicações tanto para a segurança nacional quanto para a integridade de organizações de notícias de boa-fé. As redes sociais precisam, portanto, trabalhar mais para deter e punir os atores que ativamente espalham desinformação nas suas plataformas. É fundamental proteger as notícias online, dando confiança aos cidadãos. É, portanto, necessário reforçar a nossa resiliência através da literacia mediática e da educação. As respostas têm de ser coordenadas entre os países com grande cooperação a todos os níveis. Ou seja, temos de definir uma estratégia forte que dissuada estas ameaças. Tem de haver um trabalho conjunto, sendo este relatório uma ferramenta essencial, pois identifica soluções e propõe medidas de ação específicas. É, portanto, um ponto de partida para um trabalho que vai exigir de todos grande disponibilidade. Para finalizar, reforço que é muito importante que haja cooperação, pois só unidos podemos ambicionar enfrentar toda a ingerência e toda a desinformação com que infelizmente nos confrontamos. Parabéns pela elaboração do relatório e desejo que o trabalho futuro seja profícuo a bem de toda a sociedade. Obrigada.
From the Hungarian National Assembly, if you are listening to us, you have the floor.
Köszönöm szépen a lehetőséget. Köszönöm szépen a lehetőséget. Én is üdvözlöm a... Nagy szeretettel. Gratulálok én is a jelentéshez, sok fontos kérdést tartalmaz. Egyetértünk azzal, hogy az Európai Uniónak és intézményeinek jobban kell fókuszálni ezekre a területekre. Ennek részeként pedig harmadik országokkal és releváns nemzetközi szervezetekkel, elsősorban a NATO-val folytatott együttműködésnek is szorosabbá és intenzívebbé kell válni álláspontunk szerint. A hibrid tevékenységgel és a dezinformációval szembeni fellépésnek ugyanakkor elsősorban tagállami, nemzetállami felelősségnek és hatáskörnek kell maradni álláspontunk szerint. A hírügy jellegű tevékenység eszköztára azt látjuk, hogy aggasztóan szélesedik, ahogy a jelentésben is olvashatjuk. Elítéljük a tömeges illegális migráció nyomásgyakorlásként történő felhasználását, és teljes mértékben szolidárisak vagyunk a balti országokkal és Lengyelországgal a kelet felől érkező migrációs nyomás kapcsán kialakult helyzetben. És hogy mondtam, üdvözöltem a jelentést, hiszen nagyon sok izgalmas, fontos, pontos dolgot tartalmaz. Ugyanakkor a 90. pontban, ahol a magyar kormányról beszél, helyre kell igazítanom a jelentést, hiszen azt mondja a jelentés, hogy nem működik a CEU a Közép-Európa Egyetem. Szeretném megerősíteni, hogy a CEU a Közép-Európa Egyetem ma is működik Budapesten, Magyarországon. És a jelentésben ugye tényként szerepel, hogy a kínai Fudan Egyetem az Magyarországra jön. Szeretném azt megerősíteni, hogy népszavazáson fognak dönteni a magyarok ebben a kérdésben, hogy megnyíljon a Fudan Egyetem, vagy ne nyíljon meg. Köszönöm szépen a lehetőséget.
Thank you. So we would like to thank all the participants to this first round of interventions coming from very various countries. And I would like to give back the floor to Madame Calniete, our rapporteur, if she wants to produce closing remarks for the next 10 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson, for giving me the floor. I should say that listening to all the comments and to my shadow rapporteurs, again, I was moved and convinced that all working together, we really can make an excellent report, because many of the ideas they proposed, they will strengthen the report. There are a few elements which I would be very resistant, but that does not change the positive spirit of what we are having. And I'm prepared to work hard and also very accommodating for all the ideas which go in the direction to empower European Union, to create and strengthen legislation, and also to assess the reality, which is also a very important basis for the successful report. Thank you for receiving this report so well. I'm touched. Thank you.
Well, thank you for your work and for your interventions today. The key dates for the draft reports are the following. Deadline for amendments on November 18th, 2021. Consideration of amendments on December 9th. Then vote in the committee on January 25th. And then vote in plenary in February or March 2020. 2022. Yes. Yeah, of course. Okay. I don't know what I said. So at 4 a.m. Will be open by end of the week. The secretary will send further information by email. Okay. Now we'll have to take a break to clean the room according to the health procedures, and we will reconvene at 4:15 in the afternoon. No? Okay. I don't even understand this sentence. At 4 a.m. we'll be open by 84.